This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your car.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Everybody loves a lover. I'm a lover. Everybody loves me. Anyhow, that's how I feel. Wow, I feel just like a Pollyanna.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a very, very special, spooky and mysterious installment of In Bed with Nick and Megan, starring your beloved Nick Offerman and mine.
Boo-ha-ha.
Me, I'm Megan Mullally.
Woo!
And famous, well-known witch slash warlock, Aubrey Plaza. Hi, Aubrey.
Hello. What? Observe this tiny baby head, which I light on fire. Observe the tiniest cauldron that you've ever seen.
He's literally got a cauldron, a crystal ball with a baby hat on top of it, two candles, and she's wearing a hood, a hooded black cape.
We seem to have caught her mid-incantation.
Are you going to set the baby hat on fire?
The baby head is on fire.
Oh, I see. Oh, the baby head is on fire. So, will that help us?
Ow.
Oh, careful. Don't burn yourself.
The baby head's arm is also on fire. This is better for visuals. I don't know if this is going to translate in the audio world.
Well, I'm just doing a blow by blow as best I can.
All right, give us an
incantation, Aubrey. Mm-hmm. Kick us off. Oh, she's got a magic wand.
I finally can show you my Chucky.
He's got a diamond encrusted Chucky face necklace.
Staring into
Chucky's eyes. On a gold chain.
Is it related to those medallions from Uncut Gems?
I don't know. Someone gave this to me. Why does everyone keep saying that to me? I've been doing this every night, by the way.
How many people have you shown it to?
Well, I kind of have developed this act, and I pretty much have been pulling cards every night for any poor souls.
I think you should pull some tarot cards, but it's probably not an act, is my guess.
I'd say it's working for
you. Do some tarot cards right now for the podcast.
I'm not a machine. You can't put quarters in me.
Yes. Oh, well, I always did before.
Fine, I'll change your policy. All right, but I need to do some things to ready my cards, because normally I do this at night when the moon is high, and I'm also high as fuck. But I guess for you, I will do it now. it just takes a minute for me to just get the energies going, energies flowing. But I will say that every card that I've pulled in the past 2 weeks have been spot on.
Yeah, I bet. What's that? She's twirling a like a stone inside of a geodesic form around her head.
Well described.
Light go out. I have to be careful not to set my hair on fire because I've set my hair on fire 3 times now during these readings. Mm. I haven't figured out the...
Well, this is good because our listeners are going to get a tarot card reading from Aubrey Plaza, famous well-known witch / warlock.
These are hard, dark times. All we have is dark magic to rely on.
Well, it doesn't have to be dark unless you're doing it, and then I guess it kind of automatically is.
No, I'm a good witch. I'm a white witch. I don't want to... it's a slippery slope to kind of follow the path of black dark magic, but I try to steer clear of that. I try to keep it positive, especially in these trying times.
Okay, she's got her card. She's waving them around. They're fanned out.
Let me just talk to my feathered friends real quick. Psst, 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 psst. My feathered friends.
I think her feathered friends are her spirit guides. That's my guess. Oh, she's now ringing a rather large, well, it looks large just because it's right in the camera, bell.
You ready, my feathered friends? Yes, we're ready, my feathered friends.
What you have to do is these cards are just going to very gently and very passively glide onto this table. Now, when you get the feeling or the urge, you just have to say one of two things. Pull towards me, which means that I'll take whatever card my hand is on and I'll pull it towards you, or pull towards you and I'll take the card and I'll pull it towards me, and then I'll present the card to you. And then I will discuss with my feathered friends what this means. Do you understand?
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm ready.
And just like that, we start. And it's just so gentle. Cards cascading like a waterfall down onto a wooden surface. A light wood desk of
She's
sorts.
Putting them down one by one, very
one
gently.
One by one they go. They rest with their friends in a pile. No aggression here, just very passive and non-threatening, these cards go. One.
Pull towards you.
And another. Ooh! I'm just going to tell you that every card that I've pulled in the past 2 weeks has been spot on. And now, observe!
Queen of
Blaine de Ips.
Queen of Swords. Is that right?
Oui, mais oui.
La Reine de Ips.
Play
How do you pronounce it?
Blaine de Ips.
Epe.
Now.
Queen of Swords. Okay. What does that mean? It's a woman sitting on a throne holding a giant sword.
Now.
That's pointing straight up in the air, and there are clouds behind her and some blue sky.
To my feathered friends, talk amongst yourselves.
Oh. Pss, 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 pss.
Seems like the queen was also holding up her... The sword was in her right hand, and her left hand was held out palm upward in sort of a benevolent gesture.
And the queen also looked like she... A little bit like a dude.
A Caucasian.
She had a
Caucasian
very,
dude.
Very... A haircut that could have gone, could swing either way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a shoulder-length blunt cut.
The Queen of Swords sits on a stone throne decorated with a cherub, representing the queen's softer side, and butterflies representing transformation. She faces towards the future, with her left hand raised as if to receive, and in her right hand she holds a sword up high and straight, representing her desire to find the truth in all matters. This is a very strong card, Megan. And it's an upright pull, which is interesting because I pulled it towards me. But for some reason, you've still got this upright card.
I love it. I'll take it.
You have the gift of being able to use your intellect and unbiased judgment while also remaining flexible and open to receive input from other sources. You lead from the head and not the heart. You are better able to discern situations without the influence of emotion and blah, 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 blah. You connect with other people through an intellectual understanding rather than an emotional one. The Queen of Swords notes that you are a truth seeker. You are open to hearing the thoughts and opinions of others. You filter this information to decipher what is true and what is not. When interacting with others, you will not tolerate mistruths or excessive fluff. You prefer to get to the heart of the matter without engaging in too much chit-chat or gossip.
What?
You have an innate ability to tell it like it is, sister.
Groovy,
you are
baby.
A quick thinker and you're highly perceptive. And finally, as a determined, independent, and resilient person, you have established clear boundaries and you are quick to call out someone who crosses them. People do not mess with you, Megan.
Not anymore.
Not because you threaten them or inflict violence, but because you set expectations up front about how you want to be treated. Some people might be intimidated by you, but once they get past your tough exterior and develop a sense of trust and respect, they will see your softer side.
Ew. Damn.
Now, I love this card for you, Megan. It just feels right, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. The queen of the badasses.
God, I'm so exhausted. Takes so much energy out of me to do this.
Oh man, did you absorb my energies into you, and did I pass through you?
Yeah, I'm just so happy it was a positive reading because sometimes
that was good. I like your method of one at a time psychic moments.
I don't know. It just came to me, you know.
That's your own invention. That's the Plaza style.
Guys, I'm not doing so good over here.
you're not doing so good.
I just think I've lost a sense of reality. And
are you having a tough time?
Just confused in general. Well, no, I'm not having a tough time. I'm just, I don't know. I just need an act. I need an outlet. And I guess this is it.
Have you been giving a lot of readings to different people?
This is pretty much what I do all day long. Well, all night long. The minute the sun goes down, I arrive.
That's so fun. I love that.
Have we awoken you in the middle of your sleeping time?
You've awoken me during my sleeping time, but that's okay.
As long as you don't open the curtains, as long as a ray of sun doesn't strike you, then you'll be okay.
It's okay. It's interesting to see this baby head during the day. More features come to light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a baby head, all right.
Got all these props just ready to go on my desk and finally finding a way to use them. Bones of sorts. Teeth. Tiny little teeth.
Where did you get those?
Some of them are mine and some of them are Jeff's baby teeth. I have bones in my cauldron, tiny bears. Mm. I do spells and stuff. Anyway, these are just my props.
So this is how you're keeping yourself occupied and offering your service to humankind?
Well, I feel like I have to do something.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but the power runs through me at night. My desk has had all these things on it for so long that I've finally just been able to use them, you know. It's like I've been waiting to do this my whole life.
She just showed us a tall votive candle with a saint.
Miss Divine.
It's Divine dressed as like Shiva.
Is it John Waters on the bottom?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you guys, I have multiple crystal balls. I mean, these things are just all over my desk.
I guess I didn't realize that your witch thing was as real as it's turning out to be.
I didn't ask for this power.
No, it was bestowed upon you.
But I think the night at the women's witch party that we had really solidified this for me. It made it feel
we were
like-
talking about that yesterday. I've been having these girls' night parties with just all women, obviously, but you know, just a really interesting mix of cool women. And Aubrey came to the, that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
There have been three so far, and she was at the first one, and she went up on our balcony and this and gave a very stirring witch's incantation to the assembled masses of women.
Yeah, that was a really important special night for me, and it kind of made me feel like, you know what, sometimes the universe just asks you to take a position, and you either accept it and say yes, or you reject it. And I would have to say you're a really big part for of all of this for me. You were the one that really helped me come into my own.
You're a powerful vessel.
Thank you, Megan. And I'm so sad that we couldn't do our witch party last time because it was supposed to be like...
I know, it was supposed to be like Saturday before last. Yeah.
What do you guys do all day?
You know, sex.
Nice.
Yeah.
The sex and jigsaw puzzles often at the same time.
Yeah, preferably.
Spicy. But
I wanted to, you know, this just occurred to me. Are you a fan of the musician Nick Cave, Aubrey?
Yeah, I am. I know who he is. I'm not super familiar with like all, I'm not like a crazy fan. I know all of his stuff, but.
Yeah.
You're not a Cave girl.
But I'm not like a Cave thing.
But yeah, I dig his thing for sure.
Well, for those that don't know, he's an awesome sort of boutique Australian piano driven rock and roller for the last like 40 years or so. He has a band called the Bad Seeds.
Bad Seeds.
40 years.
Yeah. And anyway, he has this really great thing. You can get, he has like an email list called the Red Hand Files that you can sign up for. And fans, it's how he sort of addresses the question of fan mail. So he chooses questions and then sends out this email letter answering like one or two questions. And I just got one yesterday, and they're always really good. He's really wise. He's really got a wonderful sense of empathy. And I think you would really love, like, he's got a dark Ooh. Sense of romance. I'm a big fan of his. But the reason I bring it up is to recommend to people to check out the Red Hand Files from Nick Cave. Ooh. But specifically on this one, he's asked by his fans, like, how are you creative? Like, what are you doing during this time when we're all locked down at home? And his answer was really interesting. First, he lists all the things he could do, which I think is true for a lot of us in entertainment, is he can like write an album. He can get online and like do a solo concert from his bathroom and all the myriad things that we can be doing, even like we're doing this podcast right now. But then the second half of the thing, he says, another fan said, why is this the time to get creative? And he says, and I'll just read a little bit of it. Together, we have stepped into history and are now living inside an event unprecedented in our lifetime. Every day, the news provides us with dizzying information that a few weeks before would have been unthinkable. What deranged and divided us a month ago seems at best an embarrassment from an idle and privileged time. We have become eyewitnesses to a catastrophe that we are seeing unfold from the inside out. We're forced to isolate, to be vigilant, to be quiet, to watch and contemplate the possible implosion of our civilization in real time. And he goes on a little bit, and then he says, perhaps we will know something of our resilience, our capacity for forgiveness, and our mutual vulnerability. Perhaps it is a time to pay attention, to be mindful, and to be observant. As an artist, it feels inapt to miss this extraordinary moment. And so what he's saying is, maybe we should give ourselves permission not to buckle down and write a symphony right now and let it be okay. Like the world is being KO'd, like being punched in the face, and we're staggering on our feet. Like, holy cow, how will our society weather this punch? Mm-hmm. And let's give ourselves permission to like be witness to it and look to one another and take care of one another and just not feel like we have to be involved in capitalism right now and be mm-hmm. like, we need to get back to work. You know, we need to get the economy back on its blah, blah, blah. And instead say, well, let's look to our loved ones and our families, you know, and see if we can survive without selling each other athletic shoes.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. I've been thinking about that a lot, actually, just the idea of like, you know, taking this time to just be alive and just stop. Cause I have that urge to be like productive. And
you're a pretty prolific filmmaker. You produce, and I mean, it seems like you're always in three new films and you're producing them. And
it is a really good time to just be still, because when has that ever happened and when will it ever happen again? People don't even really know what it is. It seems so foreign to a lot of us. I know what it is because I don't like to do anything, but.
Oh, come on. Well, you're always doing something.
Nah, I don't know.
I'm very much in line with this Nick Cave mentality. I'm like, I'm just trying not to put pressure on myself right now, because I have that instinct too to be like, well, I need to come out of this with like the most insanely brilliant thing that I've ever created, because why? Because I have the time. But who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
but you will come out of it with something the incredible that you've created, but it might be internally, you know, it might be more of a subtle internal shift that's more important than, you know, writing a novel or, you know, using the time in more, you know, outward ways.
Yeah. I'm already coming out of it with just connecting with people more.
Which is ironic. Yeah. I feel like that's the main thing for me. I mean, that's been the main thing for me so far, is really, checking in with everybody and, people that I always think about and never get a chance to. I just, for whatever reason, I don't contact them. It's been,
I know,
kind of nice. And we see so many people out. We go out, you know, walking, or in Nick's case, running every day. And we never used to see anybody. And now every single person that we've never seen before from our neighborhood is out there, mm-hmm. you know, their whole family. And, you know, it's just so interesting. It's so different.
People are turning into children again and discovering nature again. It's bringing us close to nature.
Yeah. The simple things.
Mm-hmm.
Simpler things. Although it is interesting because, you know, Nick was saying the other day that we have, what if this had happened at a time when we didn't have all these means of communication that we have now? I mean, that would have been something else.
I know.
Which is the case for every other, you know, plague or whatever you want to call it throughout history. They didn't have any of that.
I know. Well, you know, the movie, Nick, that we were in, The Little Hours, was based on the idea of, you know, from when the plague was happening and people were just gathering around telling each other stories because they didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's very timely now.
So, let's talk about something else, though. Let's talk about a different time in our lives.
Okay.
Aubrey, tell us a story of something that happened to you that was either really great or really terrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Really great or really terrible.
Or you can make it up.
Okay.
Or it can be about anything.
I'll tell you a story that not many people know. Well, maybe you know. Do you know the story of when I went to Africa? Mm-mm. This actually has something to do with illness. So maybe, I don't know if this is triggering, but I decided to do a study abroad program in West Africa, in Ghana. Wait, do you know this, Nick?
I don't think so. Is this before? This is like
when I was in college, when I was in NYU. Well, when I was in NYU, I decided to do this study abroad program because I was trying to like knock off a lot of my credits because I was like just itching to get out of school, and I found that this documentary program that took place in West Africa was happening, and it would knock out a bunch of my credits, and so that wasn't the only reason I wanted to do it. I was drawn to this program. I don't know why. And actually later on, I found out through my 23andMe that I'm 10% West African, specifically from one of the areas that I went to and I lived in for 6 weeks, which is very interesting. And so my story goes like this. I did this program. It was the first program that NYU had ever done, And I believe the last. We were the guinea pigs. There were about 10 or 11 of us, and they hadn't done this yet. So we were kind of like a little bit of an experiment. And I don't think it went well because I don't think they ever did it again, and it became kind of dangerous. But when I went to Africa, my roommate was this pirate girl named Ginny, who was like a drunken sailor from like the Keys. She didn't even go to NYU. She just like went to this program. She transferred to this program from another school because I don't know, she was a pirate and she thought like we were going to go on the beach or something, but the beaches there are not, it's not like you go and tan like you're in Miami. I mean, it's like, you know, it's West Africa. It's like, it's not like that. But, anyway, the crazy thing that happened was, you know, when you go to these countries, these kinds of countries, you have to take medicine. You have to take preventative medicine so you don't get malaria, you don't get all these things. And because I had a stroke when I was 20, I was on like a specific medication from the NYU Health Center, and they told me, I don't know why am I telling this story. This is like a horrible story. It's not funny. But basically, because I had that stroke, they were very particular about what kind of malaria medication they had to put me on. And so they put me on a certain kind that no one else got put on. And I found out later that there was a mistake, and they actually had put me on the opposite one that I was supposed to take. And the one that they had put me on was a medication called Larium that has neurological side effects. Two being, and this, you can read this if you look up the symptoms, side effects of Larium. Feeling an evil presence behind you is an actual thing that it says. Feeling an evil presence behind you, and hallucinations. And so I was in West Africa in this program. You know, we had armed security guards at our, you know, living compound or whatever. And I remember one day I walked outside, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and I looked up and I looked at my arm and I was feeling all these raindrops on my arm. And I looked at Ginny and I was like, isn't it so weird that it's raining? I don't see a cloud in the sky. How is it raining right now? And she was like, it's not raining. What are you talking about? And I was like, what do you mean? It's raining. I feel the drops on my arms. I was hallucinating that it was raining on me. And then that night there was a bonfire on the beach and I had a panic attack walking towards the bonfire where I felt like someone was going to kill me. And so they like, and I like had an actual freak out. And so they ended up putting me in a military, in a truck and driving me to the military hospital in the middle of the night.
Oh my God.
And because I was hallucinating, and then they realized that I was put on the wrong medication. And the funny thing about it is I had this blog that I had set up right before I went to Africa. Back when blog spots were really popular. Remember when everyone had those? Mm-hmm. And my blog that I created was called I'm Ghana, G-H-A-N-A, die.blogspot.com. And it was a joke, but it was like, you know, it was a joke about like, oh, I'm going to go to like Africa and get in, and I don't know, like get into some crazy situations. But my mom, but then actually I started ending up getting into these really dangerous situations. And my mom was like posting on this blog and telling me like, please, like, don't do this. Anyway, I'm fine. And
when was it? How old were you? I made it through. You made it.
It was 2005.
Oh wow, you made it to do my tarot cards.
I made it, but I guess the point of the story is, I've been through a lot, and I've seen it all.
Yeah, you really. Yeah.
And I'm alive to tell it. To tell it.
Yeah. A lot to teach.
I feel like you have a propensity for, you know, adventure, but also a slight foolhardiness with a sense of humor that has gotten you inadvertently in trouble like that through the years.
Well, I feel like I take jokes a little too far. And that was a joke that I took too far, because it was a joke, kind of, and then it became dangerous.
Yeah.
So you guys know each other from a television show called Parks and Recreation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did we? Now, that's true. And mm-hmm. But I was thinking earlier, because we were going to be talking to you. To my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, Megan, I feel like we first noticed Aubrey when she was on Maggie's show, and Aubrey was the teenage daughter in the minivan. What was the name of that show?
The Jeannie Tate Show?
Yeah.
You saw the Jeannie Tate Show?
We did.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because we knew Bill Hader the whole time. And so then we knew his when he was married to Maggie, and so we watched that show. So we already were like, "Who's this weird ass firecracker?"
Yeah, and then we watched some of your like YouTube videos. I remember one where you put on lips. Oh no, that's not you. That's Megan Amram. Isn't she the one that puts the lipstick on and then does her whole face? Yeah. But I remember you saying like, oh, this girl, and you had some crazy videos and stuff.
Well, at that time, I think I did have some YouTube. That was like, you know, the birth of the web video those days. But a lot of the videos, it's funny because a lot of the videos that I had posted online at that time, I never in a million years thought anyone else would see them. It was like that thing that you would do as starting out as an actor where you would like post, you would like put things on YouTube just so that you had a link to send to someone, but it wasn't really like, oh, I'm posting this online for it to go viral. Because when I was like doing my, trying to figure out my characters and stuff for my SNL audition, one of them was like a Sarah Silverman impression that I had done. And I put it online just to be able to like use it for my reel. And then through the years, I forgot that it was still online. And
it's
then
so
people
good.
Started watching it, and I was like, that wasn't meant for public consumption.
Right, exactly. Well, who could have who could have imagined that where society would have gone? I mean, not a clod like me, but like I'm so glad, knock on wood, like these politicians who have these like high school videos come out where they're in blackface or they're doing you know, some horrible misogynist activity, and I'm so grateful. My cousin and I loved in like the 80s, we loved making videos, and they were stupid. You know, they were our attempts at comedy, but I'm just so glad we didn't. I mean, they're apparently not around anyway, because I haven't seen any of them, but.
Listen, I got a lot of videos, you know, a lot of videos out there. Just kaplowy. I did a parody of Teen Wolf, but it's called Teen Hag. You ever saw that one? It's like a parody of Teen Wolf, but instead of turning into a wolf, I turn into a hag. I think you'd really enjoy that.
That sounds on YouTube. Really good.
Yeah. So, it's a shot by shot. How about a few reminiscences of everybody's cult favorite, Parks and Rec? Yeah.
Well, I'll start. I remember, and it's kind of, it's become sort of a famous description of Aubrey that the champion, I mean, historic, I'm surprised they haven't added her to Mount Rushmore, the casting director, Allison Jones, who told Mike and Greg Daniels, the creators of Parks and Rec, that they needed to see Aubrey. And Allison had been trying to get me on stuff for years. She was such an incredible, unfailing champion of mine. She's just like, you got to see this weird guy. He talks real slow and somehow it's funny. So when I first went in to like meet with them, immediately Mike's description of you was so funny, where he was like, Aubrey came in and I was kind of terrified of her. but she's really charismatic. So we just said, like, let's put her on the show and we'll figure out, let's just hire her and then we'll figure out what to do with her mojo. And so I feel like we kind of hit it off pretty quickly. It probably came out pretty soon that we have the same birthday. We're both born on June 26th.
Yes, we are, my brother.
And, but I, in an early episode, we were shooting, this Christmas special where we were all on stage doing some sort of like kids school Christmas special. I guess maybe it was supposed to be at like the community center, and you and Amy were dressed as like Indians.
Oh my God.
And you were making up this silly voice and you kept saying like, we are sleepies, some sort of weird little tribal chant.
We are sleepies. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a hugely informative, like, first I was like, oh, she's so fucking weird in the best way. Like, she is the super weird kid in class who will say the thing everyone else would be embarrassed to say.
Right.
And so everyone scared would think she's the coolest, and she's super hilarious. And so for me, that's when I was like, oh, I want to be super friends with Aubrey.
I don't remember any of that.
No, we are sneakies.
We are sneakies. Oh yeah, my God, like sneakies. Weird, yes. Little,
like mice Indians.
We are sneakies.
That's right. Cute.
Man, Amy is like, is rewatching the entire series right now with her sons for the first time. And I was talking to her yesterday and she was telling me about some episode that I straight up could not, I don't remember at all. Like my memory has complete, like there's entire episodes that I have no memory. We did so many episodes.
We did. And in your defense, 80% of your character was you not paying attention.
I know. God, it was such a great job. I could be hungover. I could sleep on my desk and it would be a joke.
They would laugh and be like, oh, Aubrey, keep it up. That's great.
Right? I wouldn't know my lines.
You got paid to be surly.
I know. It was a really good gig. And I would say, Nick, not to be too, you know, sentimental, but I would say you really early on, like, were so important for me, like, just putting everything in perspective, because I really didn't know what was happening. Like, I never intended to be on, I mean, I wanted to be on television, but I didn't think in a million years that I would be on television like that. And when I met Mike Schur, I didn't even realize the weight of that meeting. I straight up was just excited about being on the set of The Office. And I kept thinking like, oh my God, Mindy Kaling just walked by and like all these famous people from The Office are here. And I thought that was so cool. And I was like wearing jean shorts.
How old were you when that started?
I was like 23, but I just didn't really understand that that was a meeting that would change my entire life. And then I remember when, I don't even know what I said to Mike Schur, but I think basically he said, you know, and then there's this character of Amy's, and then maybe, you know, she's going to have an assistant that's blonde or whatever. And I was like, well, maybe that, you know, the assistant should just be me and I should just not even want to be there. Ha ha. Anyway. And like, then started talking to Greg Daniels about the meaning of life and happiness. And we got into this like super trippy conversation and about like the meaning, literally the meaning of life. I don't know why or how that happened. And then I didn't even realize who he was. I mean, I knew who he was, but I didn't really realize who he was. And then the next thing I found out was that I was there. I was going to be on that show.
You know what?
That's so cool.
And you guys are welcome to disagree, but I think this has happened to me a few times. I've been lucky enough. If you have such a meeting and you end up talking with the show creator about the meaning of life, it means you got the job.
Right. Okay. It's never happened to me again. That's the thing. When you're unconsciously kind of existing, right, you things happen, and then when you try to make that happen, it doesn't work out so well.
Yeah, there is a certain innocence to that.
But Nick, you were so, when we were doing that show in the beginning, you were so great at, like, because it's so intoxicating to be on a, you know, network television show and to come from nothing and then go into that world and be like, whoa, like everyone's just giving me like snacks and treating me like I'm some special person all of a sudden for no reason. It's like such a weird mind fuck. And you always reminded me, like, you know, like, don't buy into that hype, get your own coffee, you know? And I was definitely like at a, you know, I had my moments where I'd be kind of like, I'm annoyed about whatever. And then you'd be like, this is the best job we could ever ask for. And I'd be like, all right, fine, shut up.
If you're not having fun, there are plenty of people who would be willing to come take your place.
But why'd you always fart? Because like that was a thing that was really sucked for me, is you just farted all the time.
Yeah, Megan can weigh in on this, but it's gonna happen is the problem. And
why?
So, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to get a biologist on the podcast, but I mean, I'm not alone. Like, Pratt's like that. My dad is like that. My brother's like that. It happens to certain people. I don't know why.
You're doing it on purpose, and you always did.
I can't do it on purpose. I can't.
You would on purpose fart in front of me and Amy every scene. Because you knew it was disgusting.
Well,
he hated it.
To me, that's
he does
just,
it to me every
fun.
Minute of every day.
Either you can have fun, like it's going to happen. So either we can bemoan it or we can have a good time.
Oh, God. He's got a disorder. His dad and his brother are the same way. I always tell him, like, God, go to the doctor. It's not normal.
I really don't mean to upset anyone.
Liar.
Yeah.
You no, love it. You have some sick.
Maybe I do. Maybe I am. Maybe
pleasure
that's
out of
the heart of my sadism.
It's his sublimated anger. That's how he directs it at people.
Isn't Adam Scott so lame?
He is totally lame.
He's the lamest.
I just miss getting to make fun of him and just making him angry and hearing all Jim's disgusting dirty jokes.
I don't understand how Adam is so good. Like, I think that's what makes him such a great straight man or leading man, is that he's so good at embracing what is lame about being a human being. Mm-hmm. And so that thing that the show really began to exploit, where like his cones of Dunshire or his love of calzones or any other lame thing, he would just sincerely, like the accounting jokes that he would make at the accounting firm, to that other accountant named Barney, who was so funny. Mm. And Adam would be like, here's a pun with some accounting terminology. And I could not keep my shit together because he was so funny at that.
He's so good. He's just really good, just in general. But yeah, but super lame.
You talked to him?
We try not to.
Good.
He's constantly haranguing us, texting night and day. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, we've had to change our numbers
a few times. Yeah. Before I ever met you, Aubrey, I heard from probably three other cast members that you had a big crush on Nick. And
ew, no, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Ew.
It's okay. Look, I'm married to him.
I did not. Cute. Who the fuck said that?
I'm some of your friends.
No.
Some of your besties.
I think, I don't think that's exactly accurate. I think that in the paradigm of the show, you were 23. I think that one of the ways in which you had fun making mischief. And so you were, I think, flirtatious with not only me, but other guys that were not in your age group, you know?
Yeah.
No. The fuck are you talking about? Like who?
Look, all I know is what I hear.
What? Just because I... What? Have daddy issues? What are you saying?
Probably. I mean, I have a crush on your boyfriend, Jeff, so...
I didn't know this was going to come out on our podcast, but I guess...
It wasn't.
Look, just
planned.
Because I'm being funny doesn't mean that I'm flirting, okay? Men don't understand this. They think that, like,
Nick
if a girl
didn't
say is, like,
it.
Being funny to them...
Like, let me clear something
that
up.
They're
Nick
flirting.
Did not tell me that.
I understood that
others,
you were being funny.
Others.
Who are you talking about? Sam Elliott?
Sam does spring to mind. Which, you know, I think that you were also getting a laugh out of, like, playing that stereotype, you know?
Didn't you do that with De Niro when you worked with him?
De Niro was my love interest, okay?
Oh,
we had
right.
We had to drum up some chemistry. That was a love story. And in fact, Dirty Grandpa 2 is being negotiated as we Zoom, okay? And Dirty Grandpa 2 is going to be all about me and Bob's relationship.
Cute. Well, I don't think of you as being, I don't think of you as being one of those kind of weird, overly flirty girls. At all.
Well,
you flirt with me and I love it.
Well, I don't know what I am, but like,
well, we can change the subject, but that's how I first heard about you. And then I met you. I think I met you when I did the, whatever the first Tammy episode was maybe, or maybe the second, cause I don't know if I was on that. I don't know if I was on the Office set in the first one. Maybe I don't remember. But I remember thinking you were a cute little imp.
Were you Tammy 1 or Tammy 2?
Tammy 2.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's confusing, yeah. Because I was there first, but technically I was Tammy 2. And then Patty Clarkson is Tammy 1.
And Tammy 2.
But she only did, I think, one episode, right, Patty?
Maybe two episodes.
Remember when I made out with Patricia Clarkson, but it never made it on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't think I knew about that.
The last... Wait, was she a Tammy?
She was Tammy 1.
Yeah.
She was Tammy 1. And the very last take we made out, but they didn't put it on the air because I think it was too scandalous for network
that's
television.
That's funny.
Well, that's... But it's exactly that sort of, you know, that sort of wildcat behavior, you know.
Remember when Jim and I made out on Seth Meyers' show?
Oh my God.
That was so... Fucked up.
That was so upsetting. Well, not only for the obvious reasons, but what people might not realize is that Jim O'Hare has a tongue as big as my fucking cat.
Yeah, but so do I.
That's gross.
You have a large tongue.
Yours is like
I have a
wide
tongue.
Bologna.
Yeah,
Puerto Ricans have big tongues.
That's impressive. But Jim has the tongue of a Siberian yak.
Ugh. Fucking gross.
Have you been to Puerto Rico?
Yeah. I have family there still.
My band partner and Nancy and Beth, Stephanie, I think.
Oh, I know.
She's Puerto Rican.
I know. We're the same. We're both half Puerto Rican and half Irish, except that her mom is Puerto Rican and her dad's Irish, I think. And mine's the reverse. My dad is Puerto Rican. My mom's Irish. Yeah. Stephanie and I have talked about that. I feel like Stephanie and I actually have a lot in common. And like every time I'm around her, we're always like, let's be friends. But then she doesn't live near me.
Yeah. So yeah. No, you guys definitely, I can definitely see you guys being friends for sure. Yeah.
Or fierce rivals.
Yeah.
And ultimately engaging in a death match.
Maybe I'll Zoom her like this. Sometimes I pop in on Zooms like this and just surprise people on Zooms.
You can, how do you know that there's on Zoom?
Yeah, how do you navigate?
I don't. I just text them a link and see if they click on it or not.
Oh, nice.
I just wait. I wait to see who says yes.
Well, listen, Aubrey, thank you so much. And this will conclude yet another riveting installment of In Bed with Nick and Megan. Thanks, Aubrey Plaza. We love you.
I love you, too. And I bless your soul.
In Bed with Nick and Megan is an Earwolf production. It's produced by Megan Mullally, Kevin Bartelt, and Michael Landry. Executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon. Music by Nancy and Beth, which can be found at www.nancyandbeth.com. If you enjoyed In Bed with Nick and Megan, make sure to rate it and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.